Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another episode of Business Radio X On Location. I am your host today, Ryan McPherson. Thank you so much for joining us. We are broadcasting live today in Nashville from the headquarters of Crayons and Marketers here in downtown Nashville. And we're going to be talking about NABO and the big event tomorrow out there at the Women's Club of Nashville. So it's not too late to get signed up. If you want to get signed up for next time around too, there's a couple other events coming up. So go to the website to find out more information. All right. So it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X All Location Studio at this time, the co-founder of 312 Pizza Company, Stacy Bachman. How you doing, Stacy?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So are you from Nashville?
I'm not. I'm originally from Chicago.
From Chicago. How long have you been in Nashville?
It'll be 5 years in May.
Okay. 5 years in May. What brought you here originally?
We came just for a change of pace. My husband and I were born and raised in Northern Illinois, and we were just kind of looking for a change from the weather, the taxes, all that good stuff.
And you've never been in Nashville before?
Not really. I think we've driven through maybe once or twice.
So it was literally like throwing a dart on a map and just going to wherever.
Yeah. My sister's a country singer, so she was talking about moving here. And we said, you know what? If you're going to go there, perfect place.
Yes.
We'll all go together.
Okay. So you came to Nashville.
Yes.
And then you decided to open up a pizza place.
Yes.
How long after your move here did that begin?
That was about 2 years. We were talking about it, you know, about a year into living in Nashville, and we would eat pizza everywhere and say, you know, there's just no pizza that reminds us of home. Mm-hmm. So I started cooking pizzas in our kitchen, in our rental house. And I would have people come over and taste them. And I'd say, you know, what do you think? Would you go out to dinner and purchase this? Would you want to go out and eat that? And everybody was saying, yeah, we would go out and eat this. So we just kind of put a business plan together and just did it little piece by little piece.
Yeah, interesting. So that was going to be one of my entrepreneurial questions that we ask a lot of entrepreneurs. Is a business plan a must have when starting a business?
Absolutely. And believe it or not, when we started talking with, you know, just different landlords, and as we were trying to get if we needed a loan or anything, everybody was very impressed that we actually had a business plan. They told us you wouldn't believe how many people come looking for money or looking to lease, and they don't have adequate paperwork to back up their plan. Mm-hmm. So we spent a lot of time on that ahead of time to make sure we were prepared.
Now, is this business plan something that you continually update and kind of evolve as the business grows as well?
We do. We don't do it as kind of hardcore as we did in the beginning, but we do revisit it every year. We're always reevaluating our goals and our vision and making sure we're on point with what that original plan was.
That's good to know. Yes. So listeners, you heard it here from Stacy herself. A business plan is a good idea. Even if you're opening a pizza restaurant, which seems to be kind of an easy business, you know, there's pizza restaurants in every town on every market. What is, besides your awesome pizza, of course, separates your pizza business from the other ones in town?
What we do is authentic Chicago pizza. We were born and raised in Chicago. We're 4 to 5 generations deep in the Chicago culture. My grandma grew up in Little Italy at Taylor and Western and had some amazing sauce recipes that she learned from cooking with all of the Italian immigrants that lived in her neighborhood. And so over the years, we've just developed different recipes, and we decided to use those homemade recipes in 312 Pizza Company.
Yeah.
So we make everything from scratch, even the ketchup, even the dressing. We only have a freezer for ice cream.
Okay. So everything's authentic, is fresh over there. So you know when you're going in there to 312 Pizza, you are going to get something that's just like that Chicago pizza that you had perhaps when you were a kid. So, and where are your locations here in Nashville?
So we're located in Germantown, which is actually not too far from where we're recording here today.
Okay.
So it's a really nice little neighborhood. It reminded us of a Chicago neighborhood. Everybody parks on the street and it's very walkable. There's, you know, businesses and shops and restaurants. So it's quaint and we just love it over there.
Yeah. So make sure you go to the website, www.312pizzaco.com. That's numeral 312pizzaco.com to get the menu and see what's going on over there for sure. So, so you're looking back at when those early challenges of starting the business plan helped, but what were some of those early unexpected hiccups or road bumps that you experienced?
Construction. They always say, take your budget and double it. And I would say I would even triple it.
Okay.
Because even with the best planning, you can never foresee everything that's going to go wrong. We've never built out a restaurant before, and we had to build out the entire thing. When we took possession of the property, there was only four walls and a gravel floor. So absolutely everything had to be installed and finished. Mm-hmm. So we only could do our best at guesstimating how much that would all cost. And like I said, triple that number.
Yeah,
to make sure you have enough money to finish.
Yeah, so building out, especially for a restaurant, there's a lot of detail work that goes into that. And, and you've got to adhere to the building codes and everything as well.
Absolutely.
So those expenses can get up there pretty quickly if you don't take full control of those. So the business plan is definitely the controlling your budget. And what are some of those other key success moments that you had early on that you said, this is really going to work?
You know, we were very confident the whole time just because we knew that the product was good. And I had tested it not only on my Nashville friends, but I would bring it home to my Chicago friends and say, okay, I'm going to put this up to the real Chicagoan test. How does this stand, against all of our favorites? And everybody told me this is just as good, if not better, than the stuff we can get at home. So for me, that was the very first win. All along the way, we just didn't know, are people going to come? We tried to proactively market. I had a Facebook campaign going long before we opened. We were able to get some grassroots PR going on out there so people knew about us. But at the end of the day, you just wonder, once we open those doors, are people going to show up?
Right.
And they did.
Yes.
And they were wrapped around the block.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So that's when you knew that this was going to be a success. It just had to keep it going, keep the atmosphere, the same, and keep serving good pizza. And then you decided to open another business. We were going to talk about the Tempered Cafe and Chocolate.
Yes.
So when did that come to be?
So chocolate has always been a passion.
Pizza and
of
chocolate.
Mine.
Imagine that, right?
It can't get much better than that. It's a little selfish, my favorite things. But basically, chocolate has always been something I've been obsessed with. I love it. And before we ever even thought of opening a pizza restaurant, I had written a business plan for a chocolate store and just kind of tucked it away in my computer. And I would work on it whenever, something would come to mind of a new ingredient or a product. And I'd never made chocolate before, but it was just something I really wanted to do. And once we had opened 312, I noticed that a building around the corner became available for lease. So I just called on it, and out of the blue, I was like, I don't know if this would work, but can I come and look at it for a potential chocolate store? And they said yes. And we were up against, I think, five other people trying to get that space. And they rented it to us, first of all, because of our reputation with 312 Pizza Company. They said, we know that business is successful. We trust you. And second, they thought a chocolate store in the neighborhood would be wonderful.
You're right. And so tell us what folks can find over there now.
You can find handmade truffles. We do wine and chocolate pairings. We do whiskey and chocolate pairings. Cafe sandwiches, authentic Belgian waffles. Mm. And we just started a project. It's a pop-up cocktail lounge and absinthe bar that is open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings from 8 p.m. until 3 a.m.
Absinthe. Yes. That's legal here?
It is.
Really?
Yeah, only within the past couple of years has the ban been lifted. But it's the original recipes. There's not much that's changed with those recipes.
No, I had no idea. I've spent some time in Europe. Was stationed over there in the Army, and absinthe was part of our weekends.
Yes.
So I can't believe it's here in Nashville as well now. So chocolate, absinthe, pizza. It's just all, good things going on over there.
Yeah,
so
it's all my favorite things. I mean, I loved absinthe when I traveled to Europe as well. That's how I got hooked on it. And I wanted to bring it to Nashville in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. So we have, I think right now, 10 different types of absinthe. We're working our way up to 20, and we do the traditional absinthe ritual. So you get your own fountain brought to the table, and we teach you how to prepare it. And we really educate people on what absinthe is and how it's supposed to be enjoyed.
Right. Well, that's very good. And so folks can find out more information there as well. You can go to the temperednashville.com. if you want more information about that. And you're serving pizza, you're serving chocolate, you're really helping people. And so any other entrepreneurial kind of spirits that you have brewing that could be on the horizon? It seems like this is something that's always evolving with you.
Yes, we're always thinking of new ideas. We do have another concept that is coming on the horizon. It's called Maple and Eggs, and it's a breakfast restaurant that will be in East Nashville. So it's still in the planning and construction phase, but we are hoping to open it this year. A lot, there's a lot of building and construction going on in Nashville. So sometimes the process is slowed down because of that. but we're super excited to bring another breakfast option here to Nashville.
I bet you are. And I know Nashville is sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for another creation from you and your team over there. So, and then let's talk about NABO and your involvement with it. How long have you been involved with the organization?
I've only been involved, I think it's been 5 months, okay. But I absolutely love it. And I wish I would have joined sooner.
You do?
I do.
So what advice would you give a young female entrepreneur or business owner out there who's thinking about joining NABO?
I would say get involved right away. I came to a meeting right in the beginning of when we opened 312, and I thought I was too busy to attend, but really the time commitment is not as much as I thought, and it's helped me more even now. And I think it could have been a great jump start if I would have joined the organization right from the start.
What are some of those ways that has helped you personally?
The personal connections and the networking. Everybody there is really dedicated to helping each other succeed. And it's not the kind of place where there's hidden agendas, you know, people trying to advance themselves, but it's more about helping each other. And I really, really love that.
That's great. Yeah, for sure. We encourage everyone to get involved, particularly here in Nashville. There's so many great events and people within the organization. And so a few more questions about entrepreneurship. You know, is it a good idea or a bad idea to hire a family member?
Well, I work with my whole family.
You do?
Yes, we're co-owners together.
Okay.
So it's me and my husband.
And how do you separate all this? Work time, family time, vacation time?
Yeah, it was difficult at first, but it's my husband and I, my parents, and my sister. So we are all equal partners in all of the businesses. And we decided from the very beginning that we were going to treat it like a real business.
Right.
So we all have titles. My husband's the general manager because he had experience doing that. I'm the sales director because I had experience doing that. My dad does construction. So we all kind of stay within our lane, mm-hmm. if you will, and let the person who's in charge of that department make the decision.
Yeah.
So there's not power struggles going on. We really respect each other and their role. And then we try to turn it off. When we're done, when we're not at work, we try not to talk about it at family functions.
That's good. So you guys have set some clear rules and boundaries to adhere to. And if someone violates those rules, you won't hesitate to speak up.
Absolutely.
Because you've got to, that's got to be a plan. I mean, we've heard time and time again, you know, hiring family members is a bad idea, but you're obviously making it work. And there are other people out there making it work for sure. So just making sure.
You have to have boundaries. You have to have the expectation and you have to designate titles.
Mm-hmm.
And we always say, what would we do if we were at a normal company and we weren't related? How would this get resolved? And we try to always go back to that.
Yeah. Right. And then we heard a story recently about a father and a daughter working together, and she always called him daddy at work. And that's just not a good thing because other employees are looking at, you know, special treatment perhaps. And so that came to bubble up in the conversation. And so staying away from pet names while at work is definitely a must have if you're working with family members as well. Okay. And what about, entrepreneurs, any advice you would have someone today that's thinking about starting a business? They know they have the idea. They don't know how to get it to market. What are some of those first key must-haves or must-dos to get their business launched?
Well, I think the first thing is a firm belief in yourself, because when we were first talking about doing this, we had a lot of people telling us it was a bad idea. Don't do it. You're going to regret it. You're going to waste all your money. Restaurants don't succeed. But I kept thinking, but I succeed and I've planned and I've researched and I believe in myself. So it doesn't really matter what other people think as long as you've done your homework, you have your business plan and you have the training and a firm belief in yourself.
There.
That's all that matters. And then you go from there.
Excellent advice. It couldn't resonate more so than with all the things that we have heard here about entrepreneurship on the Business Radio X Network. And then what about Nashville as a whole? How do you like this community now that you've been here? Have the support been? Do you see yourself here long term?
I do. I love Nashville. And I always say it's like a big little city where it's almost more accessible than Chicago, where I came from. You know, it's not very easy to get in and out of the downtown area and to experience the culture and have the business connections. But Nashville is so relatable and it's so approachable and everybody is really involved in each other's success.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that there's more collaboration here and less competition. It's so phenomenal. I love it.
That's good. So if you're a business out there and you're thinking of relocating to Nashville, or you heard it here, good, honest testimony from a business owner, several businesses here in the Nashville area. So when you're not out there changing the world of chocolate, changing the world of pizza, changing the world of absinthe, what do you like to do in your off time to stay motivated and inspired?
I really enjoy spending time outside. In the summer, I love to golf. And my husband and I like to hike. So Nashville and the surrounding communities and Middle Tennessee has great greenway trails and waterfalls. And we just love to experience nature and just kind of get away from people because we're with people all day, every day.
Well, there you heard it here first, folks. You can find Stacy on a nature trail or over there at the Chocolate Place, Tempered Cafe Chocolate, or 312 Pizza. So tell listeners how they can find out more information about yourself or any of your other businesses.
Absolutely. We're on Facebook for both businesses. You can find us at 312 Pizza Co. or Tempered Nashville. And I also do keep up with my Instagram page at Stacy Bachman, and that's StacyBockman.
And you can find them on Twitter at Tempered Indulge and at 312 Pizza Co. So you can stay connected on all the social media links and see all the goings on and looking out for perhaps new restaurants, Maple and Eggs opening soon in 2016. That's going to be a unique restaurant that Stacy and her team are going to be bringing to you. So thank you so much, Stacy, for joining us. If we can help you further your message or amplify your voice here at Business Radio X, we'd be happy to do so.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed myself today and appreciate you having me on.
All right. So listeners, make sure you are connected with us on Twitter at Business Radio X. And you can follow me also at Ryan Redhawk. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor for making all this happen. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan McPherson. We will see you on the radio.